FM Talk 106.5 honors Dr. Bill Williams as he joins the Alabama Broadcasters Hall of Fame, a true legend in meteorology and climatology.
Well, the positive thing will be sunshine, plenty of it.
Dr. Bill has provided trusted daily weather reports and insights for over 40 years. Dr. Bill, there's so much more we could say, but for now, congratulations from the Alabama Broadcasters Association and FM Talk 106.5. Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 13-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Wine spolioli, drinking wine.
Well, we're not making wine spolioli, but we have been known to participate in the consumption of wine spolio.
Some of us more than others.
That's it. But welcome. Good morning. Happy Father's Day on this Sip and Chew Sunday. Look at the sun. It's beautiful outside.
Yeah.
Lord, for right now.
It's hot.
I don't care about the hot.
Oh, yeah.
I
do. That power bill is going to be nice and low right now.
I'm going to tell you. Well, yeah. Yeah, it has made the inside of our house colder, mm-hmm. and I'm going around turning fans off, and she keeps coming around behind me and bumping the thing down and turning fans on, and I'm going, good God, I mean.
You know, you can always just put on more clothes. You ain't got to walk around in your Speedos.
No, I get hot. Yeah. I get hot.
Speedos and flip-flops is not normal to wear around the house,
Mom. So anyway, but anyway, happy Father's Day to everybody.
Everybody.
That's a father. I became a father yesterday afternoon.
Oh, what'd
and,
you get?
Through the day, and hopefully I won't be tonight. I found a bat in my backyard. Little tiny bat.
Ozzy did.
Now, I named him Ozzy, though, and I don't even know if it's a he. But anyway, actually, Bach found him.
You don't know how to sex a bat?
No.
I thought you were from Laurel, Mississippi.
We don't eat bats over there.
I didn't say eat it, it's sex it.
Oh.
That's where you tell what sex it is.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, but, my gosh, Mike.
But you got to pick them up to do that. So, but it was a little teeny tiny thing, just probably a baby, and probably the storm disturbed him, and Bach was the one who found him on a pile of pine straw, and because he's always got his nose to the ground looking for something. And so I got him and put it in a box. And this morning it was dried out and it was hanging from the lid of the box. So that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. And I could tell he had went to the bathroom.
Yeah, some guano.
Huh?
Yeah, some guano, huh?
Something like that.
So, yeah, that's what Zach. Bat excrement is called guano, and it is very highly sought after.
My sister in Arlington, she deals with bats. Mm-hmm. And so she couldn't help me from there, but she's, you know, gave me some ideas of what to do. So hopefully tonight, that's encouraging with it hanging in this limb that was tucked under that looked damaged.
Yeah.
Looked better today, this morning.
So he had a busted wing?
I don't know. It may have been bruised. It could have been anything.
It had a light contusion.
Anyway, it was hanging upside down, doing well, and
what bats do.
And it's tonight, as it starts to get dark, I'll just open the little boxes in and see what happens. See if it's there tomorrow morning.
Hey, you know they're great at wiping out mosquitoes, right?
That's the whole thing. And I've been studying, not really studying hard, but like you do in school. But I've been looking at designs for bat boxes to put up along the back of my fence up high.
Right.
So Bach doesn't bother them. But they're great for mosquitoes and other insects. That's what they eat on.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody ought to have a bat box.
Everybody ought to have
everybody bat and raise some bats and get rid of them mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm. They're dragonflies. They're very good, too. And there's plants that you can plant.
But they're pretty.
So are dragonflies.
No, I'm talking about dragonflies are pretty.
Yeah. That's what it says. Also... No, not for the bats. The dragonflies are really good at clearing mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But bats do like beetles, which ladybugs are beetles.
So are fireflies.
There you go.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
They are. I just watched a little thing on them that it was like, why are there less fireflies than there used to be? Is it light pollution? Is it toxins in the soil? Is it global warming? All this. Turns out it's all of them. But I don't have any problem spotting fireflies.
We got them.
Yeah. But other parts of the country, they've almost totally
damaged. There's too much light pollution.
That's one of four things that has contributed to it. They're there, but because of the light pollution, when they send off their little strobes, that's a mating call. With the light pollution, nobody can see them, so they don't get to mate.
The mate don't see them.
Yeah. They're about 2 to 3 years old when you see them.
They're over there looking at them. They're over there hanging out with them, glow-in-the-dark night ornaments in the yard.
Yeah, or the glowworms up at, like, Dismal Cavern. Have you – you've never been to Dismals, have you?
Mm-mm.
Up in northeast.
Sounds dismal to me.
Dismals are a type of slug or larva of something that are bioluminescent.
Can you eat them?
No, but they will light up the interior of those caves down there.
Really?
It looks like a star field. Yeah, that's why people go to Dismals.
Yeah.
It's one of the few places on Earth where you can get up and close with these Dismals, or what they're called. And just beautiful. You walk in the cave in the middle of the daytime, and it looks like you're at night, only the stars aren't white. They're mainly blue.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Learn something today.
It's one of the seven natural wonders of Alabama.
Okay.
It's and it's not one of the places I've been yet, but really do want to go.
There's
and
so that's
in
help.
That and it's in the northeast corner that both of us need to visit, which is the home of Tuscumbia, where Helen Keller is from, and of course you've got Muscle Shoals and all the music industry there. You've got Florence, and it's like three or four little communities up there that make up one of the best areas in America to live.
I want to go. I want to go all along the top of Alabama. I want to go do the waterfalls. I want to do the caverns. Mm-hmm. I want to go to Rattlesnake Saloon.
Yeah,
and get me out.
Which is not far from Dismals.
Yeah,
I mean that's that same part of it. I think Rattlesnake Saloon is on the edge of the Bankhead Forest. You know, Sipsey Wilderness is within the. We could do an entire show one time about how the national park system breaks down the different lands that they manage.
Wow.
Or the federal government.
Yeah.
A national forest is handled by the forestry division. Most of the other stuff is handled by the national park, but they work in simpatico. You know the second largest road system in North America next to the U.S. interstate system is the U.S. forestry system's back roads.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they're just huge. We've got close to us. We've got DeSoto National Forest right when you get across the state line in Mississippi.
Yeah.
When you come out of Loosedale on the other side, on the west side, you're getting into the DeSoto National Forest,
which is also was considered West Florida at one time.
Yeah, well, so were we.
Yeah.
On the east side, you've got the Conecuh National Forest, which is like around Atmore. Off of that area, moving north. On the left-hand side, you've got the Bankhead National Forest, which is where the Sipsey Wilderness is.
Mm-hmm.
And a wilderness is different from a national forest because a national forest is, quite honestly, we grow these trees, we cut them to build houses, and we grow new trees. Hmm. That's why our national forest exists. It's for lumber.
I know. Yeah. In my travels as a young man, I remember more of Mississippi than I do Alabama. Because all my family was in Mississippi, but I remember so many little roadside mom and pop restaurants and diners, and tagged with the, you know, in conjunction with the gas stations.
Yeah. But the thing we need to do, especially in North Alabama, is we need to eat at every single barbecue place
there and breakfast place.
Huh? Yeah, and there are a lot fewer breakfast places. There's a lot of barbecue places. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's the North Alabama Barbecue Trail that the state put together a pamphlet so you can visit them.
Right. Yeah. You know, somebody was asking on one of the barbecue Facebook pages about barbecue. Where would you favorite barbecue place? And I put Alabama. And they said, why? Alabama, are you crazy? And I said, no.
it's the greatest hits.
It's a mix of everything.
Right. It's the greatest
it's a mix of everything.
It may not be the best state for barbecue per se. Mm-hmm. What it is the best state for a barbecue lover.
Yeah.
Those aren't the same thing, because if you're into brisket and you don't think whole hog from the Carolinas is that big a deal,
mm-hmm.
then whole hog's not that big a deal. But if you like all barbecue, come to Alabama.
There you go.
Give them a phone number, Mike.
251-343-0106 is the call and text in line. Love to hear from you on this Father's Day.
I don't like juice. Chicken, ice cream, fish.
I like ice cream. What's this?
This is juice. This is juice.
For more than a decade, they are the dynamic duo of dining. Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, right, we're back here on
You ever had milkshake with potato chips?
How what?
Have you ever had milkshake with potato chips?
No.
Okay. That sounds like a you thing. You're listening right now to a song called Milkshake and Potato Chips.
Well, I know. I've seen a Stafford Strutter over there in the Delta area from Drew, Mississippi, potato chips and barbecue sauce mixed in a baggie together is the thing over there.
Yeah,
I've not had that yet.
I'm not anxious to.
Well,
I don't think it would be bad.
Good.
I just, if I want barbecue chips, I'll get barbecue chips.
Well, that's what I always do.
If I want plain chips, it's because of reason. The best flavor potato chip is potato.
Or they'll put barbecue sauce or ketchup in their chips, and I'm
the
going,
ketchup.
What?
Yeah,
I'm not a ketchup fan anymore. I just don't get into ketchup. Yeah. Anymore.
I don't comprehend the minds that put ketchup on chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I should, because it's just a really good barbecue sauce.
Yeah,
or barbecue sauce is a really good ketchup. I got that backwards.
Yeah,
it's just and it's just like cocktail sauce. It's really good ketchup.
Yeah,
chili sauce is really good ketchup. You start with ketchup, and you add more stuff to it.
Yeah.
But I made some grilled burgers yesterday, or pan-seared them in cast iron.
Mm-hmm.
Ground chicken.
Hmm.
Just because it's cheaper. Money's tight right now for everyone. And so I thought, I've done other stuff with it. It's okay. You can use the ground chicken in chili or use it in, like, spaghetti sauce. You will not know the difference. Now, I'm being specific to not ground chicken breast, ground chicken, which is breast and thigh meat. Honestly, you put that in chili, sloppy joes, you're not going to know the difference. It's really good because you've got so much sauce covering it up.
Even the grease, the amount of grease.
There's no grease. That's the good thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
But hamburger meat. It's a lot more grease.
The only time you want the grease is in a hamburger. Any other time, you drain all that off.
Yeah.
Or you're supposed to. Are you not draining it off, Mike?
I always drain it off.
Oh, thank you.
I better start draining it off.
You put it in a martini glass and sip it later? But so you don't need the grease for that because it's chicken. It's not going to have any. You just brown it. You put in your tomato sauce and cook it in. And what I'll do is get the ground chicken, cook it off, and add a generic tomato sauce to it. Cook it for a little bit and then divide it off. One of it gets basil and garlic. The other one gets cumin and chili powder. Mm. Now I've got an Italian version and I've got a Latin version, and I can do a whole lot of stuff with that. Tacos, spaghetti, pizza. To me, a real all-meat pizza, the sauce should be bolognese, not regular sauce.
Mm.
Should have ground meat already in it. Then you put the other meat on top. Because clearly you're going for a meat lovers or a meat feast. You're not eating healthy anyway.
Yeah.
So go all the way.
Speaking of bolognese, that's my specialty when I do Italian. Mm-hmm. I do a bolognese, and it takes me usually about 4 hours or more to prepare because I do it in layers.
Right.
And it takes time, and I want everything to blend in well and take its time. And then about 8 hours after I first walk in the kitchen – when I sit down after it's been on the stove cooking all day at a very, very low temperature, it's time to eat. It's about an 8 hour period.
Mm-hmm. And people in Italy would say you're taking a shortcut.
Yeah.
A lot of times the bolognese in Italy is a 2 to 3 day adventure.
Well, I can see it.
Nothing but the meat for like the first day.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything, a stew or gumbo, whatever, it's always better the next day or two.
Right. But the way I do it is just real quick, and you're letting the sauce do the work for you. And so it's going to mask any of the weirdness that you might get from ground chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Ground turkey works the same way, but the texture's different. There's just no way to get it to get in a crumble.
We know about ground beef. Mm-hmm. We know about ground turkey. Yeah. But I've just recently, in the last year or two, seen the ground chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's been ground pork around forever.
Right, because it's sausage.
Yeah.
But the ground chicken, it's always been there. You just never had a reason to find it. And like I say, the ground chicken breast, yes, that's much leaner for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's awfully dry. The ground chicken is the thigh and the breast in there. Mm-hmm. And honestly, once you put the sauces to it, you can't tell it from ground beef and stuff.
Yeah.
I usually make chili with ground chicken now, simply because I can't tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my chili is going to tend spicier than the average person anyway.
So ground chicken as opposed to ground turkey.
Yes. Yeah, you're looking at the same fat and calories in there, basically. Mm-hmm. You're just coming up with a meat that has a better texture to it.
Okay.
And because that's the biggest thing with turkey. And there's a weird flavor to it when they grind it.
Yes,
but usually you cover up.
I've never eaten it, but only, you know, just in whole.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. Ground turkey makes a great meatloaf, though. For the leftover meatloaf sandwiches, great. The regular meatloaf, when it first comes out, it's just kind of, but the next day, cold on a piece of sunbeam bread with a little bit of squirt of ketchup or whatever you like on it, man, it's fine. It's weird. But like I say, hot, it's just, But, you know, meatloaf originally was a butcher's thing where they were just cleaning out the meat grinder by putting bread through it at the end, and then they would mix that bread in with some beef and make themselves some meatloaf.
Yeah.
So we have a call. Is that right,
Steve? Who we got?
Paul.
Paul.
Hey, yeah. Paul. Let's kill Ringo and throw him out of the band.
That's pretty good. Look, I got a story to tell you. I was going into Greer's in Grand Bay yesterday, approximately 2:15.
I was in there.
Dadgummit.
I was in there. Right? We ate at the pizza place next door, and then we went into Greer's to get watermelon and fried chicken.
Yeah, okay, that's what my bone to pick with you is this. Here walks this guy out in a black T-shirt, and in big gold letters it has provolone written on it. I go, wait a minute. And I let him walk past me as they were going around the brick pillars. It says Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. I go, where the hell did he get that shirt at? I go, I ain't going to ask him. I'm going to call the horse today and find out from his own mouth.
We have all our stuff custom made just for us because I can only afford two at a time. And
I didn't know. I was trying to finagle me a free T-shirt because I advertise for y'all word of mouth. I tell everybody.
Okay.
I do. I tell them 11 o'clock a.m., 106.5, make an appointment to listen. Matter of fact, Bill Finch and y'all. Yeah. I support the heck out of you two. You two gentlemen.
That's a great way to spend Sunday morning, man.
Yeah, except for the calling this gentleman thing. You're being awfully kind with that.
Well, I was brought up proper, you know. And there's FCC violations. I don't want to get into that. But, I didn't know that was you, Mike.
Yeah, that's me. And when we left there, we went down to Sessions Farm.
Yeah.
And just hung out there, bought some produce.
Did you go to the farm or just to the produce stand?
Well, went to the big. There's two of them.
Yeah.
They got a big one. Mm-hmm. On the north side, I tend. They got the little curbside. They open it every day, but it's open on Sundays when the big one's not open.
Oh, okay.
For super nice people, super friendly people.
So you went to the produce stand, not the farm itself?
Well, the farm somewhere else. But there is a farm there.
There's
a pecan orchard there.
Yeah.
And
did both of you gentlemen, I bet Paul knows this because he seems like the person that would know this. Prior to Hurricane Camille, the number one producer of pecans in the world was the community of Dawes, Alabama.
Yep.
What it looks like now, produce. all of that part of Mobile County just used to be pecan woods.
That, I'm going to tell you, Grand Bay in that area is absolutely gorgeous with all the big oak trees they have and the farmland. And used to be a lot of, it still is a lot of cattle down there.
So, Paul, did you notice that Mike has steered away from getting you a free T-shirt?
Well, look,
I told him they're custom made. We had to have them custom made.
It's a gorgeous
for each
t-shirt.
Event, really. This shirt was the one you saw yesterday, Paul, was made for the grilled cheese cook-off. Because that's,
I'm gonna tell you what,
that's drippy cheese.
It's a great looking T-shirt.
Well, I designed them.
And when he says design, he goes, "Hey, could you put provolone on the front of a shirt?"
That's what blew my mind when I saw provolone on the front, and that's all it had until he turned his back and it says "Sip and Chew." Mike is still.
Why did you use the next question?
Why did you stop?
What would this affordability range be for you to get a shirt?
What's your price range?
I'd pay $440 or even $880 for a shirt like that.
I don't know. I'm not gonna lowball you. I'd say $15 to $20.
That's about what we pay for, about $20.
The address of the radio station is 92.
My P.O. box. But
but I'm gonna tell you what, it is a great looking shirt, man. I thought I'd call y'all today and ask you about it, but I didn't know if y'all had a store somewhere on the web. Or,
well, why didn't you just say, "Hey, where'd you get that shirt?"
I started to, Mike, but I was so. It was like, wait a minute. I've never heard them talk about, you know, merchandise.
Nah. One day we will. We'll get into merchandise. But, hey, buddy, we got to go, man. But thanks. Thanks for calling, man. I'm, say something next time.
You're welcome, bro.
What's another number they can call, Mike?
251-343-0106.
There you go.
What?
You can give it to them sweet or spicy, and they'll say that tastes all right. And you might think the South Carolinians are just a little bit off. Would you believe their barbecues? Yeah.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Michael.
Yes, sir.
I ain't got anything to say. That was it. I was hoping you would have something.
No, not too much. Just eating and eating. You're talking about meatloaf all day.
Right.
And the part about the bread, putting the bread in the grinder. Yeah. And I ate at a place the other day, and I'm not going to mention names. I'm not going to mention names because it was not. I was really disappointed in the place, and I used to eat there, and it was so good. But the meatloaf had, because I'm a sucker, when I see that meatloaf pan and there's some around the edge with that dark
crust.
Yeah. Oh my God. I got that stuff and there was so much bread in that meatloaf.
Yeah. Should be 30% bread.
It was bread loaf.
Yeah.
And it just didn't have any flavor. Mm-hmm. Another thing that disappointed me about it was the, that's where I first tried buttermilk pie at.
Mm.
The buttermilk pie was so small, little tiny piece and thin. It was crumbled up and it fell apart. It was not.
You had to eat it with a straw?
No, it's too dry to go through a straw. But it's when I first had it there, it was at least an inch thick or more. Mm-hmm. And it was moist looking and it was a beautiful slice. And it was calling me, said, "Eat me," you know, like, "Come on by me and eat me." And it was just terrible looking the other day, and it looked like a dried up Pop-Tart. Pop-Tart had more going for it than this thing did. And I was so disappointed in it. And I hope they get their
came out of nowhere.
Act together. And
could have just been a bad day.
No. I've been hearing things. You know, as someone who, if I had a restaurateur a long time ago tell me when he had to close his business down, and he was a good customer and a friend, and he asked me there the last week, he asked me, "Mike, I just don't know what happened. I don't know what went wrong. What went wrong, Mike? Do you know? And have you heard anything on the streets?" And I said, "Yeah, you know, let me, this is what I heard. Mm-hmm. And then he said, Mike, you're supposed to be my friend. Why didn't you tell me this a long time ago? And I said, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. And I said, well, this hurts my feelings that you didn't open your mouth and say something. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to put it all over the, you know, right. This is before social media. And he said, you ain't got to let everybody else know, but come to me privately and let me know. Yeah. And I said, I thought I'd piss you off or make you mad and burn our friendship. And he said, well, this is not helping right here. I mean, I'm losing my business now. Mm-hmm. I've got to close down.
Yeah.
And so I became where I will when I will open my mouth and say something if I hear or see something going on. And I'll do that to any of my customers, just let them know. Because their business is important to me. It's important that their business does well so I can make a living, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel it's important. And you ain't got to – it makes me mad when I see people get on the internet and just slam a place.
Yeah.
Or
I try and tell every restaurant owner, if you're opening a Facebook page, do not turn comments on and do not let people rate it. No good comes from that.
Yeah.
You need to control everything that goes on your Facebook page. And as far as Yelp goes, ignore it. No one takes Yelp seriously.
They really get bent out of shape on Yelp. They really get bent out of shape on that. Yeah. And then I see them tell people who make a comment about why were in the restaurant? Why didn't you? I'm there all the time. Why didn't you ask to speak to me?
And Yelp people are clout chasing.
Yeah,
they don't. Their reviews are not accurate. Half the reviews on Yelp for any business have been bought and paid for by someone.
Well, I had somebody say something about me on Yelp, and I wasn't even working that night. Yeah. I wasn't even there. and they talked about the brisket and the brisket. We didn't even serve brisket.
Yeah.
So I do remember that there was another restaurant by the same name up north Alabama.
Yeah.
Somewhere else, or either in Georgia, and it's confused.
Yeah, because people, it never dawns on people that there could be more than one restaurant with that name, or more than one business.
Yeah.
And they just assume the one that pops up is the one that they're looking for.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm not friends with these people.
Yeah.
I've never met the owner of this place.
Right.
But I feel... I've always loved the place, loved the building, loved the way it's designed. It's been 100 different things in the past, but I think this is the longest thing anything's ever been in there. It's in a great part of Baldwin County, and I just want to see it succeed, and I want them to succeed, and I almost feel like I need to say something.
Well, I have noticed, especially since COVID, that corporations, and it's trickled down to small business owners, are making subtle changes in their product to save them a little money.
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay with that as long as you lower the price, too. If you go to a cheaper product and don't lower the price, you're stealing from the consumer. Because I expect the exact same thing for that price that I got last time. If you need to make the price go up, I'm okay with that. But don't give me something for the same price I paid last week that's not the quality that I got last week. If you're going to lower the quality to save yourself some money, pass it on to the consumer.
Yeah.
Simple as that. You'll make more money in the long run because now your prices are lower. They're going to go to your place instead of other people's. But
I just want quality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Price is negotiable.
If I want garbage, I can just go to a convenience store to get lunch and buy it off a shelf and take it out of a plastic wrapper. What's the point of going inside a sit-down restaurant that's pulling the plastic wrapper off for me?
I don't mind paying a little extra because I know Costco's. I'm in the business where things keep going up in price. Yeah. And it has to be passed on to my customers. And they've got to raise their prices. Right. I don't mind as long as the quality of the product doesn't diminish. Well, I don't want to pay more for something less.
Right, exactly. Well, think about this when it comes to food, whether it be restaurants or grocery stores. Is that we're paying you for quality. That's why we don't go to a convenience store or go through a drive-thru. So the quality is what's important to me. So don't shirk me on that.
It's quantity.
Mm-hmm.
It's how many they sell, not what
they sell.
The
worst mistake any business can ever make. There are three things that involved in any successful business that take precedence over everything else. The customer, ownership/management, and the employees. That's why if you have a business that's struggling, you pay the power bill instead of your payroll, the judge will throw the book at you. Your number one bill when you own a restaurant or any other business is to pay your employees first and everyone else second.
And you know why?
Because they did all the work.
Because taxes are connected to that.
Yeah,
you have to pay their unemployment insurance. Yeah. You got to pay their
That's a myth that businesses have started.
State, federal
business. The employees pay the unemployment insurance. Every time it goes up, the companies stop giving raises.
I'm saying, state taxes and federal taxes are taken out of your paycheck. Mm-hmm. That has to be paid.
Right.
And you pay that if you use an employment agency, you got to pay that to that employment agency so they can pay it for you. Yeah. If not, you got to knock on the door.
And there's also the whole moral responsibility. As a business owner, your number one responsibility, bill-wise, is to pay your employees.
Oh, absolutely.
No one gets paid until they did.
Absolutely.
Let the power get cut off. Let the gas get cut off. Let the trash not get picked up. You stop paying your employees, you've just stolen labor from them.
Well, and that's true. Yeah. That is true. And I've seen businesses go out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if you get a paycheck and it's no good, or if you're not getting paid, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
It's time to move on.
Yeah. But with that little trinity there, that's the successful way to run a business. Okay. Your customers are more important than your employees. Your customers are more important than you are, because without them, there's no money for anyone.
Absolutely.
The management and ownership are the ones taking the greatest risk. Therefore, they deserve the greatest reward. Mm-hmm. So they're more important than the employees too. But a good owner or manager knows, I can't take care of the customer without good employees. So I want to take care of my employees, because that's how I serve the customer.
I can't tell you how many customers I've had that they've gone many a days, many years, months and years without a paycheck, because they make sure everything else is paid for first.
Yeah.
Particularly their employees. And if they got a good employee, you want to keep those.
Exactly.
You want to keep a good employee.
You want to keep good employees. And the way you do that's to take care of them. And we've seen this shift since COVID, where corporations, and it's like I said, it's trickled down to small business, they don't care about the customer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they don't care about their employees either. You see, every department store you go into, you can see the signs. I mean, this is the highest that food at grocery stores has ever cost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, consequently, the industry that supplies that is having the highest profits they've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Every corporation since 2022 has made more profit than they've ever made. Percentage, not dollar amount. That changes with inflation. Inflation doesn't affect percentages. That percentage causes inflation, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, prior to COVID, they may be making 70% profit on whatever item it is they sell. Now they're making 95%. They're not paying any more for the product. They're not paying employees to give you good customer service. They're just pocketing the money.
Yeah.
That's not sustainable. Ask the French what happens when you keep that up. They start lopping people's heads off.
But I look at people, I look at people like Dick Russell's Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
He gave his business to his employees.
Yep.
He turned it over to them. They are now the rightful owners of Dick Russell's Barbecue.
Right.
The ones who stuck with him for years and years and years.
Yep.
And that's amazing.
Yep.
And I've been there a couple times, and it's still same quality.
I've seen the same service there since I was a kid.
Great biscuits. Great biscuits.
Great burger.
great smoked sausage.
Yeah. Great barbecue. I mean, Dick Russell's is an iconic place here, and they've been successful all this time because they want to take good care of their customers, and the way to do that is to take good care of their employees.
They've always had every month they have like an employee of the month, and they speak out if they just graduated from high school, if they just earned a degree.
When was the last time you saw companies that did employee of the month?
You don't see it.
Ever.
You don't see it.
Because they don't care.
You know, they don't praise their employees.
Yeah. They want them to be worker drones.
Mm-hmm.
You're not
now
paid.
True. There's a lot of places where employees are turnover every week, if not every day.
It's because they don't take good care of them.
So
it's good.
There's some bad employees out there.
Oh yeah, but that's the thing. The corporations are only hiring the bad ones. You know why? Because they'll put up with more and they'll work for less, and that's all they care about.
This generation today, they don't good or bad. They don't work. Just don't work. But
well, the next generation will outwork them and take everything.
Yeah,
they'll learn. Your generation didn't work. My generation had to come in and fix everything you did.
Whatever. Whatever. All right.
There's a pair of boxing gloves over here.
I think it's time for 251-340-1106. Is that
actually
right?
That came in on text line. There's a couple of questions here we can pass along here after the break.
And, okay.
And something to think about. Jim in Georgetown, he sent us first pics of his smoked turkey boudin.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Yeah, we'll show those for you and get those on Facebook.
We have any entrails in there?
Hey, listen, it's National Turkey Day, too. Turkey Lovers Day. National Turkey Lovers Day.
Yeah, so you don't honor the turkey. You honor the person that loves
the turkey. That's it. That's the way it should be.
But she was rough, couldn't make no time. So long, so long.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Michael, before you get into why provolone exists, we had a caller from Georgia who was trying to correct our pronunciation on pecan. Well, first off, Alabama makes better pecans than Georgia. Probably more right now because they've lost so much farmland over there. It's what they're like the 13th highest producing peach state now. They're not really a peach state anymore.
It's like oranges in Florida.
Right, right. Because we've just taken so much of that farmland and done away with it. But wanted to correct us on the pronunciation of the word pecan.
Has an O in it, he says? How do you get...
I told the guys during the break, I used to have like a 1957 Webster's Dictionary. And it
the year
had,
I was born.
And it had one pronunciation for the word pecan. P with a schwa E at the end behind it, puh, and K-A-H-N,
pecan.
That is the only correct pronunciation, and in as late as the 1957, was the only way anyone anywhere in the world ever produced it. So anything that's not pecan is a mispronunciation, and it certainly isn't pecan, which my father always quickly reminded Yankees. The nut is not a pecan. A pecan is the Folgers can you put under the bed in case it's too cold or too rainy to get to the outhouse in the middle of the night. That's what a pecan is.
Well, my grandma had a spit can.
That's because she liked that snuff.
So, okay, the other one, Alabama Al, asks, what's a provolone all about?
It goes back to a commercial that used to be on the TV back in the 80s or 90s, and I guess it's pre-Rosetta Stone, and it was about learning to speak foreign languages. And this guy thought he
had mastered Italian. Yeah.
He thought he knew Italian or different languages. So in the commercial at the end, it shows him and his wife and kids out in the yard, and like maybe some family members are leaving, backing out of the driveway, and he's up there waving at them. They're all waving at him, and he's going provolone, you know, like so long.
Oh my
gosh. I thought it was hilarious. I've always been a fan of commercials, so and picking up the funny ones and using them in real life, and every time I would go to an account or out to eat
mainly
or
at Patches,
a bar or whatever.
Patches is where you
I'd
made
start
it famous,
saying provolone to everybody when I left, and or when I'd come in, I said provolone, you know, and then I'd say when I left. And so,
Mike's version of Norm.
So it got to where everybody, everywhere I was going, if I didn't say it, they would say it to me. They'd say provolone, Mike. And so
now
that's where it comes from. So I told Stu when we started the show almost 14 years ago.
No, it's 13, more than 14.
I said, I want to end the show with provolone, then we'll explain where it comes from. And no one has asked that question in the last several years. Yeah.
Well, now you know.
There you go.
That lets you know we have not added to our viewership or listenership in the last few years.
I don't know. We got Jarrah in. He's a pretty good advertiser.
All right, Jarrah.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Mike's out in your neck of the woods yesterday, or I guess redneck of the woods. Because Grand Bay is country, you see.
Yeah.
Well, my neck of the woods is Saraland, so.
Oh,
why
did I think you were in Grand Bay?
Now who's the redneck?
Yeah, well, clearly I'm from Sims, nursery capital of the world.
Well, you know what you were talking about? Up until 1979, when Frederick come through here and took all of our pecan trees away, I think Baldwin County was one of the biggest producers of pecans in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
those things take so long to grow back. I mean, a lot of your guys
really
just went to row cropping.
Yeah.
But they sure make meat taste good.
What, pecans?
The wood.
Oh, yeah.
The pecan wood.
Yeah. That's sure my favorite wood to smoke with.
Yeah.
Is pecan.
But Go ahead, sir.
Guys, it's Father's hour this weekend. So I just wonder, what are you guys doing? I just got a call from my son who works out in athletics, so I got my 5 minutes of Father's Day. So what are you guys going to do for Father's Day?
Take my dog for a drive. Luke loves to go for a ride. And there have been times, like when we first opened Greer's, and I was working ridiculous hours, which is what you do on an opening. You just pretty much have no life the first couple of weeks. He would not let me leave without riding him around the driveway first. He loves to go for a ride, and he was seeing, you know, because I was working 12 to 18-hour days every day, come home just enough energy to walk the dogs, feed them, and go to sleep, and then get up a few hours later and do it all over again. And Lou wasn't having any part of that, so it would be, I'm not taking no for an answer. You're putting me in that truck before you go downtown. And I'd drive around the yard and then let him out, and he'd be happy. But
I see y'all got a new listener today, but he didn't call in to talk about food. He just wanted a damn T-shirt.
We might have to explore the T-shirt side of the merchandise.
Yeah, it's easy to merchandise. Yeah. Now, I've looked into stuff, Zazzle and other ones where you do it. The problem with those is the print on what they put on there, it usually starts to fade after about a year.
Well, you can always get you a Cricut.
Well, that way they can buy another one.
There you go.
Put a new one out all the time, and they can buy a new one.
Yeah.
But
did you guys hear, and we were talking about fast food last week, did you hear McDonald's is bringing back their fried apple thing?
Yeah. Popeye's got a better one.
Yeah.
Popeye's better.
The only reason I bring that up is because that was the only thing you could ever get from McDonald's that 3 hours later you bite into it and it's still going to boil your mouth. That nice crispy crust with that lava-infused apple pie.
Yep. I'm going to tell you what, use them as a blanket warmer.
Wow. I've got a friend that talks about things like that, but Hot Pockets also. He says he can't eat them because he's too stupid. He said he's never bitten into one that he did not scorch himself and throw it down.
Well, you know, Jax is what I had pushing this Connecticut sausage dog, They've got an apple pie, too. Mm. So I'm not a fan of those things. My grandmother made the best ones, you know, with all kind of fruit that we had on that they had on their farm. And, oh, man, once you've eaten grandma's little tarts, you know, to apple tarts.
Oh, yeah, nothing else compares.
Oh, my grandmother's apple tarts were unbelievable, and it was what taught me that the crust is as important as mm-hmm. the filling, because I asked my mother, why is this so good? She goes, your grandmother uses lard so it's light and flaky, but butter so it tastes good. So it had butter and lard in her crust.
Mm.
Them daggum Totino's pizza rolls are the same way. They'd be cold outside, but you bite into them and you get burn the hair off your tongue.
I got home the other day and there was a plate sitting on the counter with some of those in there. and the lady of the house goes, they don't taste like they used to.
Just all
I said, it never does anymore.
It used to kill me when I worked for Chris out at Sim's House of Pizza and I'd go to the store and I'd go, what do I need to pick you up to eat? And Heather would go, can you give me some pizza rolls? And you do realize I work at the best pizza restaurant in the county, right? Yeah, but I can't put that in the microwave anytime I want. All right. So pizza rolls stayed in the freezer.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. These youngins.
Happy Father's Day there, Mr. Jarhead. You have a good day, bud.
All right, you guys have a great one.
Provolone, bud.
How much longer we got left, Steve?
About 10 seconds.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local. Give thanks
support
to your
local father.
Yeah, support your local father.
And when your father opens up that ugly tie you give him today, as soon as he opens it up and he gets that disappointed look on his face, yell, Provolone!
From way out in the west, I get so tired of working. working all day.